This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Okay, what's new? Like, these guys have been through this journey many, many, many times before. And sure, there is calculated rest, but that's often come at times when there's wiggle room. Why suddenly exhausted now? And if your answer is, he's 37, then that's my response. Then my response would be, well, then what we've been saying for the last few weeks might not be realistic. That's all. And again, like, maybe this is over. Like, I fully expect the Warriors to go out and play well tonight without him. I think they can win the game. So they can win the game, and he could come back Thursday, and we could end up never talking about this again. That's one scenario in terms of how this plays out. But I think everybody has held the same concern coming down the stretch, which is, are these old bodies going to hold up? And I'd argue the conversation that took place last night is not a good one, if that's the number one concern.
I think you can look at it both ways, and you have a 37-year-old, and if you look at the minutes he's played, 5 games on the road, 5 games at home. They've had 10 games since the end of February, 10 games in roughly 20 days in 6 different cities, and he's had to play 34, 35 minutes a night, and he's had to kind of carry the load. He had 56 at Orlando. You needed every one of those points. He had to dig deep against Brooklyn in a game where you fell down 27-5, and he wound up with 32 in that one. He had 40 in Brooklyn, I'm sorry. He had 28 in New York. He's had to carry a pretty heavy burden, and he's come home. And the last 5 games, I watch him play, and he hasn't been as good as he was in the road trip.
Yeah, I mean, this is what he does. He's like, I don't know. Sometimes it sounds like all of a sudden we're like, this is totally new that Steph has to carry the Warriors.
No, but it's
this
new.
This is what NBA ones do, and it's what he's done brilliantly for over a decade.
But he's 37, and find me another 37-year-old NBA one who doesn't sit out games.
Well,
LeBron is down in L.A. chilling. Well, he's going to his kid's high school game instead of playing basketball.
Or did he actually get hurt?
Did he?
I don't know.
Nor do I. But I know this.
And I don't know if Steph is either.
I know this. LeBron's not playing basketball or didn't. He hadn't been.
Well, then
that can be restful.
Okay, but then if that's, and this is my point, if that's your answer, If, well, hold on, Mark, they're 37 and 40, respectively. Well, then pump the brakes on this. They're going to all meet in the Western Conference Finals and somebody's going to go to try to win a championship. No, then you're not going to beat Oklahoma City if that's your answer.
Well, you might if you're more rested. If you're not exhausted, if you're exhausted, you probably won't beat them.
I don't even know how are they going to get there if they've all, like, look what the Lakers have done in the standings since LeBron took this rest. They've gone from like 2 to 5.
Yeah.
Well,
they're 4 right now, but
4.
Yeah, but they have a little bit more of a cushion, so they can play around with it. The Warriors don't, to
maybe,
your point.
Maybe.
The Lakers are 3.5 up on the 7-seeded Minnesota, so they have a cushion. And they've got, Lakers have 15 games left to go. So you're playing with fire a little bit.
You sure are.
But you got a cushion. The Warriors don't have that cushion.
Exactly.
Well, at the same time, you do want to have the best version of Steph that you can.
No question.
And this, as you mentioned, tonight will be game 4 in 6 nights, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And, you know, he's 37, so it's okay to maybe give the 37-year-old guy a game off.
Yeah, but you know what Thursday night is?
That will be 4 games in 6 nights.
Game 4 in 6 nights.
Right.
Like, just,
but this not, is just not for him.
No, great.
And that's the point.
Great. And so if I'm to believe that one extra night off, which is not even all that abnormal on the NBA schedule, is going to change his physicality, wonderful, then yes, do it. And again, I've said this over and over. That's their decision. They're educated on it. They're with him. They know. He knows. So this is not a criticism of the decision. This is a curiosity based on the words chosen by Steve Kerr last night, which is the idea of exhaustion. And where that fits in to what the Warriors are trying to do when other Warriors, Steph included, are saying this is urgent, this is every night, these all feel like playoff games, we desperately want to avoid the play-in tournament. I just don't know where that fits. You know, again, if the back hurts, the back hurts. What do? Then you sit. And maybe that's actually what's going on. I leave open for that. I just don't know. And to me, it's actually what Draymond said. Hey, Steph's tired. We're all tired. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Gotta figure it out. It's, you know, if it sounds like tough love, okay. That's not what I'm trying to have it sound like, but that's sort of the assignment. You got to go do it somehow. Joe in San Jose. Hey, Joe, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
The Warriors were in that game. They had a shot at winning that game. I mean, and it came down. I just think that the Warriors beat themselves with the turnovers, killed them. Even though Curry had a bad night, if he don't get those turnovers, who knows if the Warriors could have won that game. But that was a really good game. They fought hard. And exhausted, he get paid. There's no excuse. He get his paycheck. His paycheck doesn't say, well, we're not going to pay you because you're exhausted. So he get paid. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, Joe, thanks very much.
Yeah, he gets paid anyway.
Right.
Play or don't play, exhausted the rest of it.
I just say it this way because, you know, we've all had a lot of conversations about load management the last few years, and it doesn't sit well with fans. I think most of us have sort of made peace with it because we have no choice, but it does. It's interesting to me that we get to a conversation like this and so many fans who criticize load management throughout the year, then when it sort of lands with their favorite player, then they'll defend it. And I want to be careful here because I'm not going to call this load management. I don't know what it is. You know, last night he said his back has been bothering him. All right, that's not load management. That's my back hurts. And so we're going to sit out a game and you know, take caution. That's fine. But it is funny to me how many people, it's like, you all hate load management. We've gotten a lot of texts from people who are on their way to the game tonight, and they're super bummed.
Yeah.
Steph Curry's not playing Giannis tonight. That was the thought.
No doubt.
You know, and same last night. You were the first to say, dude, huge bummer.
Big time.
That Jokic and Murray aren't playing.
And tonight's a bummer as well.
And what Jamal Murray did last night's a joke. It's a joke.
There should be dynamic pricing on your way out of the arena.
Not even just pricing. Like, how about the dynamic pricing for ESPN? How much do they pay for a contract to broadcast games that guys won't play in?
Yeah.
Like it's a total joke. But when it comes to your neighborhood, we defend it now. Oh, we need a night off. Well,
it just depends on the situation.
Of course.
And I look at Steph Curry and what he's done this year, and he's played in, I want to get the number right, 59 games. So for me, if you have a player who's played in 59 of 65 games, 68.
He's done a great job.
He's played in all but nine. Sure, sure. So if he wants to take a night off, I get it. My problem with load management is when it's done en masse, where you sit like three and four guys all together. And the league has tried to eradicate that. You mentioned before Kobe and Michael, and I just wanted to refresh my own memory. Kobe's last year was when he was 37. And that was the I'm going to shoot every time down the floor year. You covered right. that team. Michael Jordan actually didn't play when he was 35, 36, or 37. His 38 and 39-year-old years were with Washington.
Sure.
So those were years that were largely ceremonial anyway.
Well, so was Kobe's end.
Completely
like,
ceremonial.
Not playing for a good team that was trying to do something.
Right. And so I do think that in this case, players are playing longer, and so Steph's in not completely uncharted territory, but as a runaround athlete who is expected to do as much as he is, I'm giving him the benefit, even though it's Milwaukee and it's a big game.
These are totally fair points. They're totally fair points. I think that it's subtle, but that's sort of different than what I'm getting at. And I know apparently I'm failing wildly at this.
Oh, you buried the guy on Twitter.
To make this not about Steph. It's about the idea of exhaustion. And if you're going to say that that's in our space, if a head coach is going to be like, exhaustion, there's exhaustion in the room with our best player right now on March 17th. If you're going to say that, that's fine. I can't argue with you. But I can certainly change my expectation in terms of where this is going next. I don't know how you say, hey, we're definitely thinking we can play till May. We're hoping that we can play till June. If you sit here today and on some level express that your top player's out of gas. That's all.
Yeah, it's fair to think that, but much like all of us in our life, some days you're exhausted and you
for
get
sure.
9 hours of sleep and you wake up and you're like, yeah, I feel better, you know? Or maybe you have an off day or you have a stretch three or a stretch four where, you know, I kind of created that where you have the Monday off on a company holiday and you take the Friday before, it's a stretch four, and sometimes you get back on that Tuesday, it's like, yeah, I'm not exhausted anymore. I can't wait to hear Mark Willard bury Steph Curry again. What'd I do? Go to Twitter.
Yeah.
Willard's
sensitive,
down on the shelf.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. Sensitiva.
Yeah. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Man, that Petty King, he's going to come at me at that parade.
No doubt.
Oh.
At that parade. Look at
wait
you.
Wait a minute.
I've been told he'll be too exhausted to show up to the parade.
That would be a perfect way to end it.
Come on, Alabama State.
Tim McMahon, ESPN Hoop Collective Podcast with Brian Windhorst, with Tim Bontemps, all tapped in, dialed in, and was at the game last night. He jumps in here next with Willard and Dibs. Willard sucks at his job.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen.
Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
We should warn everybody right now that Tim McMahon was at the Warrior game last night and works for ESPN and the Hoop Collective podcast. And he's a fantastic voice on the league. You may, if you're really tapped into the league, recognize his name through years of covering the Mavericks. But now it's expanded a little bit. However, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a book out that's literally about Luka. And what a time to come out with a book about Luka.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, called The Wonder Boy.
yeah, not The Wonder Bread, which I think was a working title for a while as he was getting a little doughy around the midsection.
That's what Nico was pointing to when he traded him. But let's find out on the River Islands guest line. Tim McMahon joining us here on Willard and Dibs. And yeah, the book is The Wonder Boy about Luka, and what a ride it's been for Luka. What was the timing of all of this, Tim?
I mean, purely coincidental, absolutely shocking, and 8,000 copies have been printed at the time of the trade, and yes, I did have to rush to write a final unplanned chapter, but you know, the whole premise of the book is about the pressure on a franchise when they draft a prodigy through the prism of Luka and the Mavericks. And look, they've got all kinds of drama and twists and turns and, you know, dysfunction as they've tried to build this contender around him to make sure there was never a reason for him to look to leave. And then obviously the plot twist, spoiler alert here, somehow after going to the finals before the next trade deadline, they decided to dump this guy. So can't say I saw that ending coming. I always thought if there was a trade, it would be because they failed to give him a chance to win and he would ask out. Obviously, that's not the way things went down. And, you know, it's one way for the story to end, that's for sure.
I mean, Tim, we want to talk Dubs, but just, I mean, you're here and I'm dying to know somebody who's actually tapped in and has reported on this for years. What was this actually about, as far as the Mavericks were concerned?
I mean, you know, just to cut down to it, this was about Nico Harrison not believing in Luka Doncic as a franchise centerpiece. And, you know, the conditioning stuff, obviously you guys are joking about, but that was a primary factor in this. And I'll just point out, yes, the conditioning issues are a concern, and he averaged 34-10-9 and led a team to the finals last year. Both of those things are true. I would think one would outweigh the other, so to speak, but Nico Harrison disagreed. And, you know, that was also all part of really the relationship between Luka, and especially Nico, but some others in the Mavericks organization, fraying. There were people who were let go by the organization that, you know, Luka was very fond of. And this, you know, all these things kind of played a part. But again, after they scrambled to build a contender around him, after they went to the finals, after they gave up their control of their first round picks from 27 to 30, they made a move to get rid of him. And by Nico's own admission, create a 3 to 4 year time frame that obviously has been seriously damaged by the injury issues since the trade. And, you know, once that time frame ends, the credit card bill is due. And, it, you know, there's a lot of things that if you look at it from a logical perspective, it is hard to make sense of.
Yeah, and here we sit with Anthony Davis, now a Maverick, kind of, and Klay Thompson ostensibly left holding the bag as Kyrie gets hurt, and so the whole Dallas thing kind of has disintegrated after the move. I'm interested in your thoughts on the Warriors, and I know it's a small sample coming off of last night where they were really flat against a depleted Denver team, but what do you make of this Warriors team and their viability with Jimmy now joining Steph and Draymond for the stretch run?
Well, I've seen them in person twice since the Jimmy trade. They lost in Dallas. They lost last night. So I'm certainly not very impressed. obviously, though. Maybe I'm the curse. But
yeah, no more games. Tim, you're not going tonight, are you?
Well, I'm not. No, I'm actually heading to Cavs-Clippers as we speak.
Okay,
if
good.
If they're going to make a deep run in the Western Conference, you know, I'm going to see them again at some point. But look, the Jimmy trade is obviously really kind of breathed hope back in to that franchise, despite the fact that we haven't seen him really dominate like you know he's capable of. It's reinvigorated Steph. Obviously, Steph's on fumes right now. I mean, Steve Kerr made that clear last night. I think you could see the mental fatigue as much as anything with some of the insane turnovers that he had last night. They're going to have to kind of manage trying to keep Steph fresh and give him rest versus not slipping into the play-in. Ideally, he's going to be able to rest while other teams are in the play-in games and not the Warriors, so that'll be interesting to see how that balances. But if Steph is playing, the kind of basketball that he has recently and that we've seen over the course of his career, if they get playoff Jimmy, they're going to be a real threat. I think you can look at the record, not the strongest stretch of schedule since Jimmy's been there, but I think you look at the record with him in uniform, and it's eye-opening.
Tim McMahon of ESPN and the Hoop Collective Pod is with us here on Willard and Dibbs and was at the Warriors game last night and is never allowed to go to another one again. let's talk about that a little bit, Tim. If Steph is on fumes in March, then why and how is it realistic that this is somehow going to get better over the next 2 months?
He needs to be recharged. He needs to be plugged in. That's obviously why he's not playing tonight. I don't think that him being on fumes is any kind of like final conclusion. I don't think that, you know, we've seen the last spectacular basketball from Steph Curry this season. Obviously, the guy takes great care of himself. He's going to take tonight off. We'll see if there's another rest game or two for him down the stretch of the regular season. But, you know, again, my assumption is that Steph has great basketball left to be played down the stretch this season and going to the playoffs. And if he does, you know, the Warriors are going to have a real chance at making a run. And if he doesn't, they'll be on vacation by May.
And you look at last night, and it's a small sample, and I understand that you're 0-2 since Jimmy's come, and we're kind of holding it against you, but when you look at just Denver and the size and the length and the force with which they played without Jokic and Murray, is that the one team that you think is the worst matchup for the Warriors in the first round?
Well, obviously, you know, nine straight wins for the Nuggets over the Warriors. Last night was really a weird kind of fluky type of thing, but I was on NBA Today with Udonis Haslem this afternoon, and obviously he knows Jimmy well. He might have a little bit of a bone to pick with Jimmy. I'm not sure, perhaps from the way things left in Miami, but he made a good point, and that's the big athletic defenders are the ones who give Jimmy trouble, and Aaron Gordon's a really tough matchup for him. You know, you saw that in the finals when the Nuggets and the Heat matched up, so know, he is the type of guy who can fare well in that matchup against Jimmy and kind of neutralize some of the advantage Jimmy has, whether he's usually either quicker or stronger than whoever is guarding him. And then, you know, look, Joker's a matchup problem for every single team in the league right now. It's not like the Warriors are some kind of, are unique in that regard. So I think the Nuggets are going to be a tough matchup for anybody. But again, the track record against Golden State would say especially the Warriors.
Tim, I wonder what your thoughts are on Oklahoma City in general from this perspective. You know, they're 12.5 clear of the rest of the conference. Is all this conversation about matchups and who would fit where, is it all rearranging deck chairs, or is Oklahoma City actually vulnerable because of lack of experience?
Well, look, Oklahoma City has the best point differential in NBA history. So the idea that they're not a formidable number one seed is obviously ridiculous. The only real reason to doubt OKC is because you haven't seen them do it before. You know, it gets back to you. They have a relative lack of playoff experience. You know, last year they lost in the second round to the Mavericks. They also, you know, that series was actually dead even on the cumulative scoreboard over six games. It's not like they, you know, just got mowed over. But, I mean, they're the clear-cut favorites. That doesn't mean they're invincible. And honestly, like, when you talk to other teams at the Western Conference playoff picture, for whatever reason, whether it's logical or not, the Thunder aren't feared by their foes in the West. So we'll see how it plays out. I know I would put my money on OKC coming out of the West, but again, you know, until they do it, they've got to prove it.
You just said that they have the highest point differential in the history of the association. Have the other teams that have been up there on that list, have they all gone on to be champions? What's that list like, Tim?
I would have to double check it, but I believe so. The record is 12.3, give or take a fraction of a point. I believe OKC is a 12.5 now. It was the 71-72 Lakers who were 12.3, the team that ran off 33 straight wins and won a title. So, look, point differential is not the end-all be-all, but that's a pretty convincing stat.
Yeah, and it just shows that, you know, when they win big, and when they lose small. And so it just struck me when you said that because, you know, Mark and I kind of have appropriate fear. We don't want the Warriors to be the eighth seed, but I wonder from a national viewpoint, do you think that OKC is getting the respect that it deserves considering how good they've been in the regular year?
I mean, not really, but you know what? Neither did the Celtics last season. I mean, seriously, until a team wins a championship, there's always going to be people poking holes in them. There's always going to be people doubting them, and especially when it's a team as young as Oklahoma City, where, you know, almost every guy on that roster, with the exception of the two role players, really good role players that they brought in over the summer, almost every other guy on that roster is like 26 or younger. You know, and they have a little bit of playoff experience, but not a lot. But again, just if you just put the numbers on a piece of paper and don't attach it to a team's name, you'd say, yes, this team is overwhelmingly by far the best team in the Western Conference, and there's really not even a conversation.
Hoop Collective Pod, Tim McMahon, ESPN, top NBA voice out there for sure, was at the game last night. We had a conversation about Steve Kerr a lot yesterday, Tim, because he just became the all-time winningest head coach of the Warriors, and certainly he gets plenty of love around here. However, for somebody who's accomplished as much as he has, there's a good section of the fan base that still questions him a lot on a night-in and night-out basis. What is the overall national view around the league of Steve Kerr as a coach?
Those four championship rings shine pretty bright, man.
Right?
You know, look, I mean, when you're the Warriors, obviously, because of the success that they've had I'm not going to call it the Steve Kerr era, during the Steph Curry era, during the era of this dynasty, that becomes such a high-profile team. The part of that is every single move is going to be questioned. There's going to be second-guessing. You know, that's part of being a coach for any franchise, but especially a franchise as high-profile as the Warriors. You know, and obviously, the guy doesn't have four championship rings because solely of his coaching prowess. I mean, you know, inheriting the Splash Brothers and Draymond and the roster that he did, you know, win without talent. But Steve Kerr has proven himself to be a heck of a coach. I think that if you talk about his strengths, you would go more EQ than IQ. Is he a top five X's and O's guys? I don't know, but he's not a dummy, that's for sure. I think he's pretty good at every aspect of coaching. He's just especially good at kind of the motivation and ego management and, the psychological aspects of things.
And does that EQ now matter more than the IQ in this day and age where you've got, 15 highly paid stars usually on every team and social media and all the other distractions? Does that become a greater skill in this day and age as opposed to being able to, draw up a good out-of-bounds play?
Well, I was talking to a rookie head coach recently, over the last few years. Anyways, the guy who at the time was a rookie head coach, and I said, what has surprised you about the job? And he said, only about 10% of this is actual X's and O's. All the other stuff, you have to spend more time on, focus more on. And if you don't get the ego management, the psychological stuff right, or I should say, if you get that stuff wrong, you can be as smart as you want to be. It's not going to work. I mean, listen. In this book that I've got coming out next week, there's a lot of stuff in there about the Luka Doncic-Rick Carlisle relationship. Rick Carlisle is a top three X's and O's coach, but he completely botched the ego management, the psychological stuff with Luka from his rookie year on, and basically that put a real quick expiration date on that relationship. And, obviously Steve Kerr is on out of year whatever, coaching Steph Curry, Steph Curry, as far as superstars to coach, he's kind of a dream guy, but he's also had Draymond that whole time, who, phenomenal player, not always a picnic to coach. this kind of longevity, it's not possible in the NBA unless you are really excelling at, those other aspects of coaches that aren't about, what kind of plays you're running, your defensive schemes, and those sort of things.
Tim, the Warriors are in the process of still assessing Jonathan Kuminga and his value coming this offseason and also trying to re-inject him into the lineup at an important time. What was your take on his play last night and how he's going to fit in going forward?
Yeah, honestly, last night he had a bucket in the third quarter, and I'm like, geez, I didn't really notice Kuminga at all tonight until now. And he was a guy who, about a month before the trade deadline, I would have put down a wager on him being traded. I felt like it had kind of reached the point with him where either you're going to trade him or you're going to pay him. Now, we'll see. There's always sign and trade scenarios in the summer. But, clearly he turned the corner during that, in January, going into before he got hurt, where he was showing something to the Warriors. He had made them believe that he was going to be or could be part of their future. So it'll be fascinating to see how the summer plays out with him. Obviously, it's not just about evaluation, but it's about negotiations in these circumstances. But again, for a guy who I thought was going to get traded before the deadline, I don't think I would make that same bet now. And then in terms of this summer, I think he's going to be part of the future in Golden State.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely feels that way. And Joe Lacob's recent comments would be commensurate with that. Tim, thank you so much for coming on. Great to have you. And as mentioned, don't attend any more Warrior games, please.
Hey, like I told you, boys, if they handle their business in the playoffs, they're going to have to see me at some point.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Felt more like a threat than a promise, Tim, to be honest.
Appreciate it, Phil.
Yep, thanks. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, there it is. Tim McMahon, Warrior hater. Tim McMahon of ESPN.
Just bad luck.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
I don't know if he necessarily hates it.
Can you imagine? He's seen two games since Jimmy Butler started playing, and it was the game in Dallas and the game last night.
Right.
Easily their two worst performances.
Yeah.
And their only two losses with him on the floor.
Exactly. The only other one was Philadelphia, where he didn't play.
He didn't play.
He just kind of floored me with the point differential thing.
Yep.
And so I did a quick Googleage of it, and yeah, the Thunder are number one. Number two, The Lakers, they won the title. The Bucks are number three, they won the title. The Bulls are number four, they won the title. The Warriors are number five, they won the title.
Yep.
The Celtics are number six, they won the title. Number seven is the Bucks in 71-72, where the Lakers won the title. And after that is the Cavaliers this year. So of the top eight, two of them are playing now. The other five all won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Tim said about point differential, and they're at 12.44. Positive point differential per game. And so, yeah, it's not really a fluky indicator. History will tell you if you're that dominant, you win the title.
Are you looking at the standings point differentials right now?
No.
Okay, great.
No, I do know that
Game show music, please, if you would. Okay. Mark Grandy, thank you very much. Yes, indeed, Oklahoma City is the point differential leader at 12.5. I'm going to take Boston and Cleveland off the board because they are obviously numbers two and three.
Yep.
Cleveland is two, Boston is three. Can you name, in the National Basketball Association,
the association,
with three guesses allowed, can you name the team that is number four in point differential?
I mean, you figured it'd be a good team, right?
Well,
how am I doing so far?
Yeah, they do have more wins than losses, yes. Number four, again, OKC's number one, Cleveland's number two, Boston's number three. Oh, anybody could have named those, but who is number four in point differential?
How about New York, the New York Knicks?
The New York Knickerbockers come in at plus 4.5, and that is not the correct answer. No, sorry.
Yeah. And thoughts and prayers to Tracy Morgan and his stomach flu, food poisoning. That was alarming.
He did the same thing the Warriors did last night, threw up all over himself.
Yeah, his was a little bit worse, I would say.
It was closer than you think.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he also was exhausted.
Yes.
How about the Houston Rockets, Mark?
The Houston Rockets at 4.6. Not the correct answer. One more guess.
How about, recency bias?
Okay.
The Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets at 4.4. Not the right answer.
Ah, boy.
All very good guesses.
Oh, thanks.
All of them are in the top seven.
You don't need to pander.
That you just named. But the reason I brought it up, this is a very surprising answer. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to the Memphis Grizzlies.
What?
The Memphis Grizzlies are at plus 5.9. in terms of point differential.
Okay.
Number four in the NBA.
And those other teams that I mentioned are all kind of right in that same group.
Yeah, New York Knicks 4.5, Rockets 4.6, Nuggets 4.4. Hello, Minnesota Timberwolves at 4.1. Warriors 2.4.
Right.
2.4.
Yeah, and just, it's only apropos because of what Tim said.
Lakers 1.6.
Right. And it is an indicator, I think. It's an indication sensation
of
just in general how good you are. And just looking at this list of the historically best, and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Well, 1 is the Thunder, but 2 through 6 are all teams that went on to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 73-win Warriors are number 10. We know they didn't win the chip, but it's a remarkable list, and the Bulls are in there again. So 2 of Michael's teams are in there. Usually if you're that dominant in the regular year, you're also a very good playoff team, which tells me, based on this graphic alone, Thunder-Cavs, NBA Finals matchup. Go ahead and bet it now.
Would that surprise some people just because of youth? That would not surprise me at all.
Well, based on point differential, they've been two of the most dominant teams ever.
They're incredible.
Thunder is 1 all-time, and the Cavs are number 8 all-time at plus 11.
And I hope the Cavs bring their A game tonight because they're in L.A. to take on the Clippers, and it's a huge game for the Warriors.
Yeah, let's go Cavs.
Yeah. The Warriors, a lot of what happened last night would dissipate to a degree if they could come out as dogs without Steph and beat Giannis tonight, and if the Cavaliers beat the Clippers, if that 1-2 punch could happen, sure. Start to make you feel a little bit better about what took place. Because, again, 4-1 homestand is, to a degree, what I expected and is still there for you. If you can pull this out tonight, get Steph back in the game on Thursday against the Raptors, close out the homestand 4-1, then to me, All's fine.
Yep.
And by the way, there's nothing even about last night that, you know, going back to where we stood last night, this is not a panic type of a thing. I was just caught by the word exhaustion from Steve Kerr when it's only March, and Draymond Green's like, yeah, that's how it always feels late March. We're exhausted and you have to figure it out.
You do. Part of figuring it out might be taking a powder on a Tuesday night. And, you know, who gets up for Milwaukee on a Tuesday anyway? Draymond, right? I mean, these are all just one of 82. So.
Me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And these games are, they're heightened. And part of it is because of the tourney, which is getting underway. And so we're all getting the juices flowing about, you know, win or go home. But even if they go 8-6 over their final 14 games, they're still going to have a play-in game.
They'll be in the play. God, yeah. I do not want it.
I'm just saying, you know.
Stupid thing.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I'm with you.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're here for your phone calls. What are your concerns from last night? What were your concerns in watching a very frustrating game and a sloppy one for sure? 888-957-9570. We got time for your calls for sure. And our buddy Larry Beal is going to join us just after 5 o'clock as we again head toward Warriors Live in another big game on 95.7 The Game tonight. This is Willard and Dibbs.
He's not a dummy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Good to hear Buster Olney's voice. Baseball's underway.
Yeah, Giants already slipping away in the
Giants,
NL West.
Giants in second place, half already. Game out.
Yep.
Jung-Hoo Lee, no structural damage on the MRI. Bob Melvin thinks he can be back in the spring lineup by Friday.
All right. I didn't even know he was hurt.
Jung-Hoo Lee.
What did he have?
Jung-Hoo Lee. He slept on it wrong and his back hurts.
Hold on a minute.
What's wrong with that? Why does everyone?
I am scared.
He slept on his back wrong and got hurt?
Well, he woke up and his back hurt. You never had that happen?
I'm 56, Mark. Yes, but I wake up every night at about 1:17
right,
in agony.
But like you've never had that happen even when you were younger?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a professional athlete.
Well, right.
You get hurt in your sleep? That does not bode well. Making fun of Steph Curry for being exhausted.
No, but you stop it.
All I'm doing is reading
stop
Twitter.
Stop it.
You're talking about a back issue. Are you sure you're not talking about Steph?
I am not. You making fun.
Teasing?
How dare you?
Would you prefer teasing or mocking?
None of those. Not even criticizing. How the hell are you going to do that about another man's body?
Well, I just did with Jung-Hoo Lee.
Right, and you shouldn't.
You got hurt sleeping.
It happens. Think of the baseball
DNP,
injuries.
DNP, sleep. I mean,
well, sounds like an NBA problem.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's load management.
DNP didn't want to.
DNP didn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
DNP not going to make me still get paid. I just...
Yeah.
Anyway, I had no idea he got...
He's like, he woke up the other day, the back wasn't feeling right. They figured, okay, whatever, this will work itself out in the next 24, 48. It didn't. So they finally took an MRI. No damage. They're expecting it to get better here in a couple of days. So no.
He hurt his back sleeping,
no freak
and he
out
needed
yet.
An MRI.
I don't know, dude.
Sounds like he might have been doing something other than sleeping.
This
am I
is
right?
one of those things. Take it easy.
Yeah.
And if he is, he is. But
you better be careful.
This is one of those things
we
that
still
as,
on YouTube.
Apparently. By the way,
on the air, Dibs.
Yeah, you should all. My bad. You should all get to YouTube because talk about making lemonade out of lemons. Something got wonky with the YouTube feed, so instead of like messing with it, which would cause us to kick everybody out and reboot, we're just going to leave it right like it is, and therefore we're kind of hosting the show after the show during the breaks on YouTube. So we did a whole thing just for the YouTube audience during the break, and now because we're super, super strong radio hosts and not soft, we won't be breaking again for another 48 minutes.
Right.
But when we do, we'll do that again. So get over to YouTube right now if you want to ask us whatever question you want. It could be about anything. The first question we answered was, what's for dinner tonight?
Yep.
And then next thing you know, you're talking about stealing dinner from some woman's garage down the street in Moraga.
Oh, we pay for it. It's fun.
I don't know what the hell happened.
It's fun.
But anyway.
And if she's listening, the chicken was a little salty last week. That's all I'm going to say. Dial it back. Dial it back.
Criticizing a woman for bringing you food while you work.
We paid for it.
Unbelievable.
As a customer, you have the right to criticize and also take your business elsewhere.
Take it to Yelp, not direct to her, all right?
Yeah.
Seriously, be nice. Woman cooks for you.
Well,
slaved over a stove for you.
I paid for it.
So what?
It was a very fair transaction.
You walk into the back of a restaurant after you eat and open the door. Hey, chef, a little dry.
No, but you obviously aren't familiar. You're not familiar with my Yelp, because I'll open up a can on you.
I'm very familiar with your Yelp. I've seen the radio version.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I keep it real. If your customer service is lacking, if your meal is lacking, I'm going to be there now. And you're going to get hit with 2 stars. I'm not just one of these like pom-pom Yelpers where everyone gets a 5. No, if you deserve a 2 or a 3, you're going to get a 2 or a 3. And that's just going to be the way that goes.
I am so envious of anybody who Yelps. Like, all that says to me is you've got time in your life. Like, you're going to...
It takes, like, literally 5 minutes.
Nope, it doesn't, because you set up an account once upon a time.
Done?
Yeah, no.
And when you reach elite Yelp status, as I have, you have a responsibility to your community.
Unbelievable. You got time, brother. Don't ever tell me you're out of time. If you got time to come home from a restaurant, I'm going to Yelp. I'm going to tell everybody else that the risotto was dry. Like,
dry.
Good Lord.
Dry.
Move on with your life.
And you know what? The customer service?
Go to bed.
Lacking.
Go be with your daughter. Go read her a book.
Yeah,
get a
read
Yelp
her a book.
And tell people the risotto was dry.
Go to F to Sleep is the book I read.
It's a good book.
It's a great
book.
It's
actually not a book.
It's a real page turner. Yeah, I transcribed it.
Sam Jackson, incredible.
Yep.
Anyway, Larry Beal, KGO.
Yeah.
Handful of minutes away. We'll keep going with the phone calls.
And
you
I
look
wonder
like
if
you had something to say.
I wonder if he'll side with me or if he's going to also come out and bury Steph Curry.
I thought you were talking about the dry risotto or the Yelp.
Oh, no.
I'm going to side with you.
No, I'm going to Yelp you. And, you know, if you're good,
I'm going to eat it.
You get 5 stars, and I'm going to give you a glowing review.
Let's go. Just move on with your night. Let's move on.
There's a place in Oakland that I went to, and the way I was treated, I'll tell you.
That's a little different if you were mistreated.
And the cod tacos were a little dry.
That's your fault if
and
you're
the
ordering
crema,
cod tacos.
Delicious.
Good Lord.
The crema was a little runny and a little bit rude.
What is going on here?
2 stars is what's going on.
So what?
I'll help you into tomorrow.
You do crossword puzzles, too? You have that kind of time?
I do Wordle.
I call my parents. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I'm sitting here. Just doing my 8th crossword puzzle of the day. Life's kind of boring. I'm like, I'm so jealous.
You've got 5 jobs and 5 kids.
Exactly. So there's no Yelping.
Yes.
No Yelping.
I have a 2.5-year-old. She goes to sleep at 8, and I've got 2 or so hours to watch
the Warriors.
I watch the Warriors on the laptop, Below Deck on the main screen, Quirtle on the phone. Maybe we'll do a little bit of Wordle. Wordle and Quirtle.
Wordle and Wordle.
And if I need to Yelp during that time, I'm going to Yelp you now.
I don't know. Dude.
Better be careful.
Let's go to Tomas in San Jose.
I'm going to Yelp his call,
Tomas,
too.
Yeah. Have you ever Yelped anybody before?
I have not Yelped, but, you know, when it comes down to it, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
That's my motto. Unless you host a sports radio show. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on, Willard Dibbs. You guys are great. Love you guys. Regarding the Warriors' performance last night, you know, those games are going to happen in the trap games. You don't have a lot of data on who you're playing. You got a bunch of tryhards. The size was definitely a factor. And, you know, the Warriors just have been on one. So they're definitely, you know, not allotted, but, you know, that kind of game kind of happens. What would be concerning is if we laid an egg tonight, because that would mean that the team has kind of a hard time bouncing back, and that's not going to play well in the playoffs. So I'm looking for this game tonight, big game. You know, Steph's out, that's fine. Pod's looking for him to, you know, keep finding his rhythm like he has been midseason. And so, yeah, tonight, if we lay an egg, that's concerning.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tomas. Like, I'm very, very optimistic about tonight simply because, like as Tomas says, last night they were kind of due. They were due for a clunker. They were due for a clunker. It happens. It happens to every NBA team. How the hell did Houston end up down by 25 to Philly? How did I know they come back?
The Warriors
back
were down
won.
By 22 to Brooklyn.
Exactly. And how did Minnesota lose to the Pacers without their three best players last night? So, like, in a vacuum, there's zero concern based on what you saw last night. It's just incredibly frustrating to miss out on an opportunity like that when you're really trying to shake Minnesota. They give you a loss to work with, and you can't go out there and take advantage. But similar to what the Pacers did last night and what the Nuggets did last night, I don't think that Steph being out tonight means the Warriors are in some way not able to function as an NBA team. They got plenty going on.
And
They got plenty.
They should be like Denver last night. They should be one of those tryhards. And because Tomas used that, I'm going to give his call 4 stars on Yelp. Oh. 4 out of 5.
Good.
I didn't like him agreeing with you off the top, which takes him from a 5. But
thanks,
overall, overall, pretty good call. Yep. And if you don't have Steph, then yeah, you should be one of the tryhards. And I do think, and I can't confirm this because I don't know the rotations tonight, but I would guess that TJD is going to get a chance to play tonight.
Maybe.
I look at the Quinton Post matchup. I don't know if Quinton Post is a guy who is going to fit against Milwaukee. TJD might be somebody who at least gets a chance to go out there and guard Giannis.
Maybe. I mean, I wonder. I wonder what the approach is to Giannis. I don't know, you know, if they sort of handle him the same way you would try to handle Aaron Gordon. I don't know, because I also know that, for instance, for a lot of those minutes, Brooke Lopez is going to be on the court. And that's someone built for Quinton Post to guard.
Yeah, good point. Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, what if Quinton Post is starting and Draymond gets the Giannis assignment? Not for the entire game. That's obviously not somebody who's very easy to physically guard.
Sure.
I don't know if there's another human being on the planet who can, quote, guard Giannis. But, yeah, maybe this actually fits Quinton Post a lot better. I'd still rather have him out there, especially because you need 3-point shooting on a night when Steph Curry's not going
to
be there.
Yeah, that's fair. And you also have, you know, Dame to deal with, and that might be something that Moses can guard and GP2 when he's in there.
Yep.
But it becomes difficult when you're dealing with Giannis, because he really is largely unguardable. When you think about, of all the players in the association, he's one of the most unguardable because he's so tall, he's so skilled, he's long, he can be physical, and the Warriors don't really have any of that in their front court. They have Draymond at 6'5", are we going to say?
Yeah, 6 if you want. Yeah.
Okay.
6 foot.
Wherever he's in there.
5 or 6.
And an elite defender.
Totally.
But that's a tough cover, because Giannis can take him out, you know, on the perimeter, and, you know, you get him down in the deep water, no one can stop him, but it's a tough cover.
Yeah, but I mean, Giannis, well, obviously, Giannis going to the hoop is a very, very difficult thing, but, you know, you sort of guard Giannis in the same way that you guard Jonathan Kuminga. It's a completely different player, but you're going to sag off and hopefully convince Giannis to shoot the ball from 12 feet or further. Anytime you can do that, to me, that's a win. It's if he gets all the way to the backboard that you've got a problem. So I would trust Draymond as much as anybody else to at least kind of outthink that whole thing. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us, or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.